Give it to Leslie Nielsen.
Ninja.
It makes like sense. Every great episode of Toad Talk, we start talking about Leslie Nielsen and we just go off the rails from there.
Because why not?
Because why not, right? I was, as Clint walked into the studio earlier, I was humming Barbaran and I mentioned Surf Ninjas as a movie that I think was good at when I was like 5 or 6. I don't know if it's actually still good. B-Banks 2121, chime in on this because I know you have an opinion on this.
Get that on the letterbox.
Yes, yes. Let me know if it's actually still good or not. I guarantee you've seen this movie. But yes.
Surf Ninjas, not to be confused with Three Ninjas. Because
that's what I thought it was at first. I was like, yes. By the way, both free on YouTube. If you search them, Three Ninjas or Surf Ninjas full movie, you can watch it on YouTube for free. So enjoy that. Enjoy that on Saturday if this TC Oklahoma game doesn't go as well as we hope it does.
You need something to dull your general feeling.
The pain. Billy Wessels, Clint Foster. Clint, how you feeling today?
Feeling good. You know, and I'm all about a so bad it's good movie. So if that's what Surf Ninjas falls into, like The Room. I'm a big fan of The Room, for example.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Yeah. Oh, hi, Mark.
I did not hit her. I did not. Yes. I actually watched that. Oh, I want to say like 10 Halloweens ago with some friends of mine. And then, of course, The Disaster Artist, which I thoroughly enjoyed. The spoof, if you will, of that. Anyway, we're off the rails already. The season's off the rails. Everything's off the rails.
Hey, but we had a bye week to get things figured out.
We had a bye week to get things figured out. And by George, the O-line better be better this weekend or else Max Duggan might die.
By George! Yes, we don't want that because that will certainly happen if the O-line has not figured things out.
He won't actually die. He's a warrior. He survived heart surgery. But this, the last thing we saw was like him having to limp off the field after taking a beating, and then you're playing Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
That's not great. Again, you've had a full week and a half, 2 weeks to prepare for this and have him heal up. Hopefully the O-line step up. But, man, I don't feel great coming into this OU game.
But here's the thing. We have schemed around our offensive line's deficiencies this year. You look at the last half. We were talking to Jeff Olson about it last week, right?
Yeah.
You look at the last half of that Iowa State game. You look at the entirety of the Texas game. And the O-line wasn't blowing anyone's doors off, but it was less of an issue as in the Kansas State game where it was just absolutely a revolving door. You know, so if you can be creative in your play calling, if you can highlight quick passes, quick screens, you know, do some things to spread out the field, then maybe you're in a little bit better position.
And Darius Davis is one of the guys available to the media this week, so that implies that, hey, maybe they are going to use some of the smaller, shiftier receivers, use some of these speed guys. Again, J.D. Spielman's kind of questionable, but sadly he's been a relative non-factor in the offense so far this year. It's kind of a bummer as a return guy, but maybe it's something Darius Davis can do as well. We'll see how this offense responds after a bye week, because I don't know what I would do if I was at O-line on the bye week. I would just be – we talked to Garrett Wallow, too, and talking about – I asked him if this was more an important to like watch film or like be on the field. And I feel like the talent's there somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. It's about learning to play better and together.
Yeah.
So I want to say almost is more important to be in the film room this week, but I'm not sure. We're not in there. Hopefully this O-line gels. Hopefully this offense gels and we see some fun and excitement on Saturday.
Yeah, talent. You're right. The talent is there. Wes Harris has not been bad this year. Esteban Avila, which I'm going to continue to call him Esteban because that's way cooler than Steve. He's on the Remington Award watch list. Yeah, we don't have a bunch of eighth graders, like Coach B had said before. It's just a matter of giving them the instruction that they need, them communicating in the way that they need to communicate, them gelling. You know, that's kind of the all-encompassing verb that you can look for. Hopefully a bye week was enough to get us that next step forward, because this is a very vulnerable Oklahoma team, the most vulnerable Oklahoma team since 2014, easily.
Yeah, I mean, probably. It's a matter of, but also, what did they do in their bye week, right? They're coming off a bye as well.
I feel on developing a quarterback for the first time in 6 years.
Well, Rattler's been good, but not like blow the doors off of anybody.
Because he's a redshirt freshman. Yeah. Like, you're developing a quarterback. Congratulations, Oklahoma. Yeah. It doesn't happen immediately.
Well, yeah, but I still feel like, I don't know. This offense is going to be really tough to slow down. Austin Stogner, tight end's been like unbelievable this year, leads the team with catches and yards, which you don't hear much out of a tight end, especially in Oklahoma's offense. Mm-hmm. But say he's struggling, your offense also has Marvin Mims, Charleston Rambo, and Theo Weiss. Like, their receiver room is, it's once again loaded. It's that's usually not a question about this Oklahoma offense. So
yeah, again, you know, we talk about talent is there on TCU's roster. I mean, talent is always there.
Yes.
On Oklahoma's roster, as it is theoretically on Texas's roster, but that hasn't stopped us from having our way with them for the last decade.
True, very true, and it has stopped Texas from being successful despite that. But TCU should get a boost to try and slow that down. Trey Tomlinson had a minor injury, was banged up. GP expects him to play this week. And our Darius Washington missed the second half of last week's game due to the targeting call, but he should be back. He fully go in this one as well. So the secondary will be fully ramped up, but I'm not worried about the TCU defense. As weird as it is, Noah Daniels has been amazing so far this year.
Hasn't skipped a beat.
Been one of the best corners in all of college football by Pro Football Focus and all those grades, everything else like that. But I think it has to come. It comes down to the offensive line. It just is. We keep repeating the same thing, and they keep repeating so far this year not to be great. So let's see if they can maybe find something new to do this weekend.
And I also wouldn't mind us, you know, we've got all these talented running backs. And, I mean, far be it for me to suggest that we run necessarily more. I feel like our balance and run pass play calling has been fine. But it's like you get a hot hand like a Darwin Barlow, who started out that Kansas State game so strong, and then you hardly ever saw him again. Yeah. Or you'll get Kendry Miller, you know, who's really on a roll. And then it's like, well, where'd he go?
Yeah.
You know, so it'd be nice to, whenever you've got guys finding a rhythm, to continue to kind of take advantage of that.
And this is a better run blocking offensive line so far this year anyway.
Vastly better.
So play to your strengths. And also, just think, if you're running the ball more, they're on the offense less.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally, if you're picking up first downs, that's the big thing. Got to keep moving, got to keep going. Oklahoma has 12 sacks, but they've allowed 11 in four games, so it's not like they're necessarily amazing on that side of the ball.
Let's go, Kari
Coleman. As far as their offensive line goes. But TCU has 4 sacks, and they've allowed 10 in 3 games.
Yeah, not ideal.
And one of those 4 sacks was like a Wallow got a 16-yard loss on the Brock Purdy throw a backwards play, because that went as a sack force fumble.
Yeah.
So, like, that's not necessarily repeatable. I think they can do something like that again, but, like, that's just a weird play. But it's one of TCU's 4 sacks. They've allowed 10 in 3 games. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, we hemmed and hawed about that last week. Just not a good trajectory to start the season, but not something that we can't recover from. And again, you know, there's opportunity here, not just in this game, but this entire season. You know, if the offensive line can just take a little bit of step forward, you know, we've talked about it. We feel like there could easily be a 3-loss team in the Big 12 title game. We can challenge for one of those 2 spots. Oklahoma has 2 losses and is still very much in the race for that Big 12 title game. So, come on. You find a way to get a win this week, and suddenly everything changes, right? Everything you're thinking about this team changes. And I don't think it's that out of the question to I'm always optimistic going into the game. You're not expecting a win, but it's possible. It's possible. And, I mean, golly, we've almost beaten Oklahoma 5 times. 5 times! We've almost beaten them with the one time that we've actually beaten them. You know, everyone wants to talk about, oh, Coach B's only beaten Oklahoma once in the Big 12. Coach B's only beaten Oklahoma twice in his career. But it's like this whole stupid last season and all these one-score games we keep talking about. Eventually, one of those dominoes is going to fall, right? So maybe this is the time.
Yeah, I mean, you would think so. What is it, 6 straight losses to Oklahoma right now?
Mm-hmm.
But one was a 1-pointer in 2015, a 6-pointer here in 2016. 2017 was a blowout both times.
Yeah, that was Baker Mayfield.
Yes. And then 2018 was a blowout here. But that was, again, that one, I think, was tied at halftime, or it was a close game at halftime. And then last year was, if Jalen Hurts still hasn't gotten the first down, by the way, like that, that one was definitely gettable, but the defense really carried the load in that game, too. So
yeah, but specifically, like 2019, 2015, 2012, 2013, those are all games, those are 4 that were easily winnable. And the 2016 game was there for the taking. So 5 times you've been, and a lot of those times,
5 1-score games.
Yeah, and a lot of those times you weren't the best team on the field, I would argue. I mean, 2015 should have won. 2015 should have won, but you didn't have Trayvon Boykin.
If you had a healthy Boykin, you win that game.
And you know,
or if Bram knew how to complete a 2-point conversion, which again, he wasn't good at. The one downfall to Bram was he wasn't good at two-point conversion.
Figured it out eventually.
Well, even then, that wasn't him on the, in Oregon.
Yeah.
That was a trick play. That was, what's his face? The running back threw
Aaron
that
Green,
one.
Yeah.
Aaron Green threw that one. So it's just, but yes, five of these losses have been one-score games. But hey, that's kind of the running gag, if you will, on TCU the last 2 years is everything is a one-score game. And again, Vegas has this one as a one-score game as well. Oklahoma's a 6.5-point favorite.
Yeah.
I don't know if TCU's offense can make it a one-score game. The defense can, but do I see this game being like 27-21 Oklahoma winning? I kind of don't. I kind of think they'll score a little more than that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the TCU offense can do more than that.
Yeah, that really is the question. It's kind of like that 2013 Oklahoma game where you're like, listen, we are one pick six away
from winning this game. I tweeted that several times during that game.
Yeah.
20-17 was that final score. Just unbelievable. Like it's I was at the game and I think it came down. I think they gave up a long touchdown run like in the very end of the game.
That sounds right.
To put it away for good. But yes, very frustrating in this series because Oklahoma has been. But they do this to almost everybody, right?
Yeah.
Everyone except Kansas State. It seems like that's who they. That's their kryptonite. But TCU GP can hang with them. And Lincoln Riley said it's always interesting versus GP. And he gave a lot of praise to Max Duggan this week. So we'll see if Duggan can take a step up, if GP can finally match wits and win the chess match with Lincoln Riley this weekend. So
Yeah, and it will be a chess match. You can count on that.
Yep.
Certainly, whenever you're talking about a Lincoln Riley offense and a Coach P defense, even though, yes, Lincoln Riley has gotten the better of Coach P in all of their meetings, I mean, it's still you're talking about the times when it's been a big win on Oklahoma's part. It's because there's been a significant gap in talent.
Was 17 his first year, or was it 16?
I think it was 17. It was 17.
17 was Lincoln Riley's first year. So
yeah.
So they played four times since then. The first two were blowouts. Three, I guess, have been blowouts. Again, I keep thinking 2018 was closer than it was because that game was. Was it one score at halftime?
It was close.
Because Michael Collins came in and threw a couple touchdowns. It was
he had that bomb to John Stevens.
It was 28-24 Oklahoma at halftime, and it was like, oh, okay, we got a shot here. And then no, there was not. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he completed. Mike Collins threw a 41-yard touchdown to Turpin, a 33-yard touchdown to Rager, and then Bunce kicked a 41-yard field goal in the last play of the half. To make it really interesting all of a sudden. And then, Oklahoma scored the last three touchdowns of the game to pull away for good. But, yeah, even then, this was the two teams traded field goals to start the third quarter. So, it was 27-30 halfway through the third quarter. So, even that was close-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kyler Murray pulled away. So
yeah. Mike Collins, by the way, making his first start for Rice this weekend.
Yeah. So this is their first game, I think, right?
Yeah.
I think I saw the stat where this is their fourth or fifth straight year with a different starting quarterback in week one.
Yeah.
So that's not a great situation.
Well, up until this year, it was like, hey, samesies, right?
Right, right.
We've kind of been there. But, yeah. And, well, Oklahoma definitely samesies when you get a new grad transfer.
Well, yeah, you just, hey, here's a Heisman guy. Let's go in and go win a whole bunch of football games.
Here is your next Just Add Water, senior Heisman contender.
Yeah.
Enjoy, Lincoln Riley, enjoy.
Well, you want to make a prediction for this game?
Yes, I shall, Billy, and I'm going to stick to my guns. I've been predicting a TCU upset since winter. And I am sticking to my dadgum guns. We're going to pull it off this year. Literally, we just need... The gap is not as far as we're convincing ourselves it is that we need to span, right? The offensive line has been an issue. But it's an issue that we can overcome. We overcame it in that Texas game. I mean, the offense looked great for the most part in that Texas game. And the offense looked great in the second half of that Iowa State game. Whatever Kansas State was throwing at us that we felt like we couldn't do the same things... That's an entirely different question. But I don't have, the Oklahoma defense has not been one that scares me for a good number of years now, right? I think that you can make those slight adjustments, and with a full week of preparation and that bye week coming into this week, I really like our chances. So, let's say, I feel like, looking at every game on our schedule, I feel like it's going to be 30-something to 30-something. So, that's kind of what I'm feeling right here. Let's say it's going to be 34-31.
Ooh.
TCU wins. And, it's vanilla as all get out. No, you know what? Darwin Barlow is your player of the game.
Ooh.
Man gets hot. We ride the hot hand. Could easily be Kendry Miller as well. But we ride the hot hand to Darwin Barlow. Let's say that he scores two touchdowns, one in short yardage, one that he breaks a big run. And he's going to have, oh man, it's hard to guess yardage because everyone's getting like five carries a game.
Right.
Jeez. Okay, so if we're giving Darwin Barlow a little bit more run, he's going to have like eight carries maybe, but he pops one of them big. So eight carries for 97 yards.
Ooh, okay.
And two touchdowns. Let's stick with that.
Let's stick with that specific example. I like it. I hope you're right. I am less confident than you are.
And that's fair.
I'm just going off track.
I'm sure there's a lot of people listening who are not very confident.
No, but you come here for the Homerism, typically. Yes. This is the Homer podcast. Uh-huh. That's fine. So I'm going to take Oklahoma. I'm going to say 38-24.
Game.
No, it's not a fun game.
I'm not going to enjoy being at that game.
Well, yeah, I won't either. Let's see. Who do I want? I'm going to still pick a TCU player to be player of the game. Because I don't want to pick like Rattler or some nonsense like that.
No.
Now, nonsense I'm going to pick. I like picking defensive players, but I'm going to say.
You can pick one of your boot boys. I mean, that the press availability had a decided Louisiana flair.
As you
wear your Saints shirt.
And
right
I had to ask Wallow about his neighbor, Kari Coleman, as well. I'm going to go. Do I go Coleman? Do I go boot boy? Do I go? I kind of want to pick an offensive guy because I go defensive guys, and it always just hurts my heart. Yeah. Repeatedly. I'm gonna go because I keep thinking it's gonna happen. I keep thinking he's gonna have a game. I'm gonna go with my boy Blair Conright. It's not saying he's gonna have a game, but like I've been the driver of the Conright bus, and he was named to the freshman All American watch list whatever this week.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say four catches, 82 yards. Two TDs.
I could see that happening.
Yeah, I will say two of them go for touchdowns because I love me some Blair Conright.
And why not?
Why not? Someone's got to score touchdowns for TCU.
Someone
hopefully,
has to catch passes.
Yes.
Yeah. Driving on the Conright away.
Speaking, I don't hate that. speaking of teams that are hot right now, doing well right now. Soccer up to number 5 in the country.
Can you believe it, man?
I can't, really. Yes. It's crazy. Having a team that's number 5 in the country and like you can't go out and watch and support and all that stuff. I think they have some fans.
Yeah.
They beat Texas Tech 2-0 last week. Remain undefeated at 4-0-1. Messiah Bright and Grace Collins got the goals. Emily Alvarado got her fourth shutout of the season. And the schedule gets a little bit tougher from here. Texas Tech, like we said last week, wasn't very good. But they visit number 8 Kansas tonight. That's Thursday, October 22nd. It's on ESPN+. Kansas, number 8 in the country. They are 4-1 on the season as well.
Man, it's been something to behold watching these girls just march their way through this Big 12 schedule. And,
yeah.
I mean, you know, now one of among the favorites to try and claim that regular season crown.
You do have Kansas, West Virginia, and TCU all in the top 8 in the country.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the ACC, I think, has like the other 5 of the top 8 teams or something crazy like that.
What a stacked conference.
Right? So if they should do an ACC Big 12 showdown, kind of like they are doing an SEC Big 12 showdown in basketball, and TCU basketball is going to be playing Missouri in that this year in case you missed that and get ready for some basketball.
So you're who is more disenchanted with Sean Robinson basketball grudge match?
Someone's going to Someone better show up to that game with a Sean Robinson jersey that's like half white, half purple, or half gold, half purple. So there's
who owns such a thing.
I don't know, but I want to see this happen though. I kind of keep forgetting that we are only about a month away from basketball season.
Yeah, starting. End of November.
And November 25th, I think, is the start date, and I think they've talked about like how they're going to kind of go about the schedule and stuff. They've got their preseason tournament set up. This is last year's schedule I pulled up, not this year's, because that's not on GoFrogs yet. That's annoying.
Huh.
This is great radio as I look up the 20. So it's weird that it's not up on GoFrogs yet, by the way. Let's see if it's on ESPN. Can we show me potato salad? No data available. No one knows who they're playing or when they're playing. It's all up in the air right now. And judging by cancellations and everything else, like, I don't know how well they'll get that going or how much they'll do, but
I don't know. Wasn't there someone – am I crazy or there already – well, yeah, okay. We'll leave it at that. I thought that we already had a different – opponent scheduled for the SEC Big 12 showdown and they like changed it? Or am I completely off base?
I don't remember if they did it, but it'll be the first time in 70 years they face Missouri, which I had no idea. That's crazy.
Historically very good program.
Yeah, big rivalry. So it's at Missouri, so they don't get the home court advantage for that one. And then they're facing Tulsa in the first round of the Hall of Fame Classic in Kansas City. That's going to be November 28th, which will also feature Northwestern, South Carolina, TCU, and Tulsa in that bracket. So if you remember, South Carolina's coach is the former coach from Kansas State, Frank Martin. I believe he's still there. It's a whole bunch of bubble teams, honestly, this one. If there's a tournament this year, this could be really important come bubble time, because I feel like a lot of these teams are in the 65 to 75 in the country rankings. So just keep an eye out on this one. These first games will be very important come March and November. It's weird to see how that looks.
Yeah, and they should certainly be on TV, if nothing else. So.
The games,
we're not allowed into the
I'm sure it'll be on TV somewhere.
It is
TV and time to be determined as of yet, but it'll be, I'm sure you can watch it somewhere. Probably TBD. On ESPN Plus.
It's like TBS, but it's a little different,
but it's a little more depressing. That's what the D stands for. To be depressed.
I tweeted about this, and this just tickled me to no end that I was emailing with this guy who was a client, and I realized on LinkedIn he was an Oklahoma graduate, and I was like, oh, hey, are you going to be at the game on Saturday? Like, maybe we can link up. And he's like, no. He was all, like, moody about it. He's like, I'm going to golf instead. I'm just not really a fan of our team this year. And he goes on and on about how, like, it just, I don't find it very fun to watch my team underachieve or underperform. And I was like, bro.
Yeah.
Let's take a step back, and we will.
Your team will still probably be in the Big 12 title game.
Not to mention, you were doing college football all wrong, my friend.
It is mostly misery.
Yeah, if you're not in this for the masochism, I'm not exactly sure what you're in it for.
Like a Paramore song, this is misery business.
Yes.
That's all this is.
Misery, and you love every second of it, don't you?
Who saw a Paramore reference coming? Not I.
Before a Hamilton reference in this show.
Right?
Wow.
That's even more crazy. So here we are. We're now about 26 or so days away from the NBA draft. This is your weekly update of mock drafts that I've seen. Bane's still at number 41 on ESPN's best available board, which would have him go into San Antonio barring any trade. So I don't really want that.
That would be less fun.
I wouldn't mind him being close to home, but it's still San Antonio. The bitter rivalry. He is going 21 overall to Philadelphia on CBS. So coached by Doc Rivers would be exciting with Joel Embiid. And
I'm quite certain we've seen a mock draft sending him to every team at this point.
Yeah, and here's another one. NBC has him going 19 overall to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
To play with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving.
Okay. Well,
I'd watch some of those games.
Yeah, wouldn't be terrible. Wouldn't be terrible.
And then another one had him totally not on their board. NBAMockDraft.com. He wasn't even in the top 60 players, so that was weird.
I'm basically thinking with Desmond Bane, for me, it's like Mavs, Pacers, or bust. Just because Pacers would be fun since he's from Indiana.
Oh, I was like, why the hell do you want him to go all the way over there? But then I forgot that.
But he's from Indiana. That'd be cool for him. But, I mean, I want him to play for the Mavs because that's more fun for me and a lot of TCU fans. But yeah, just like we've seen him going everywhere. He's gonna go somewhere, and he's gonna do good.
He's gonna go somewhere,
but you know, let's let him go somewhere fun.
He'd go to New Orleans, play with Kenny Hustle.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
And Zion, and
increase the TCU Pelicans pipeline, the intrigue,
the boot boy pipeline.
Yes.
I'm here for that as well.
Like sister cities, almost, except for sister state and city. Cool.
Yeah. Nailed it. 100% correct.
I'm meandering my way through this.
Yeah, workshopping through that one a little bit. And then let's finish with some volleyball talk. They got swept by West Virginia in their two matches out there. Lost 3-1 and 3-2 in those matches. And by the way, their next two games have been postponed due to COVID. They're supposed to be home matches against Kansas and UT. So that's a bit of a bummer. It also makes you wonder, how is the Big Ten going to get through the schedule? They're starting this weekend. If you're seeing outbreaks all the time and games getting rescheduled and shuffled everywhere. So that's a bit of a bummer. But against West Virginia, Julia Adams had 39 kills. Mackenzie Nichols had 106 assists. And Danny Dennison had 52 digs when she, by the way, leads the conference so far.
Man, yeah. I was going to say 52 digs is pretty good.
Good for her. But they're also a 1-5 start on the season. And as of now, we'll play next November 5th and 6th at Oklahoma. So a bummer they're not playing the next 2 weeks, but
You know, I'm really tired of hearing the phrase "due to COVID." I'm going to be honest with you.
Get used to it for at least another year, probably. Yeah. I bet this is sometime next summer by the time everything finally goes away. Yeah. So
we shall see.
We shall see. Twitter questions.
We don't have very many, do we?
No, we got three.
Oh, okay.
It's a quick show. People are kind of bummed and frankly, I'm with them. Like, I'm not very energetic today. I'm like, yeah, let's just talk for hours. Like, I kind of just we're all just kind of living at this point.
Hey, it's college football season, y'all. Don't get too bummed out. You know, we've got the opportunity to be disappointed. You know, look at it that way. I'd rather have a bad college football season than no college football season at all. Hot take.
I mean, yeah, that's true, but it's still, I'd rather have a good one.
Well, yeah, duh, but you can't always get what you want. But if you try sometimes,
you might find and you get what you need.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
And all sometimes you need a lot of one-score losses, apparently.
Whew, man. Michael Dunn at @well_dunn15.
Hey, former Frog walk-on.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
How would you grade the Jerry Kill hiring?
I would grade it a B+, I think. Because you have seen, like, you've seen the offense perform well, you've seen the offense perform poorly. Overall, I think it's still a good thing that there's oversight on the offensive coaches that is not directly Coach P. I think that's a good thing. But it is hard after three games with mixed results to kind of be like, oh, yes, it's been a sweeping success. But I don't think it's been a failure at all. So B+.
I mean, I would take the under on that because he's supposed to be quality control, and the offensive line so far has not been quality. Mm-hmm. So I think he's got plenty of more work to do. I almost want to give it an incomplete, right? Because it's obviously they've only played three games. The season's a third of the way over. There's a lot of work to do still. But I mean C+, I guess, because it seems like the scripted first possession goes really well, and then when they go off book, I don't know what's gonna happen. let's just throw something at the wall. Max Duggan, go save us.
Yeah,
Max Duggan, go full Russell Wilson with the Seahawks and just try and keep us in the game and save us and let it go.
Yeah, that's too much of that happened last year, and yeah, it was very disheartening to see it happening in full swing against Kansas State. But again, you know, I'm trying not to be forgetful of the first two games and what we saw in the first two games. You know, we saw good things. We saw a lot of good things.
But with the bye week and then a loss before that, it's been like 3 weeks since we've seen like good football.
Yeah.
A compelling football game. So here we go. Brian B. Banks, 2121.
Saving the Twitter questions.
Yes. Bringing us alive. You can add one NFL player to each side of the ball for the rest of the season. Who are you adding?
Okay. So I thought about this one. On offense, you obviously want to add an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
At first, I was thinking, ooh, Tyron Smith would be great, but he's had a lot of injuries. So I'm thinking more like David Bakhtiari, okay. I think. Give us a really, really solid tackle and pass protection.
Or maybe Derrick Henry. Just give him the ball every play. No one in college can tackle. No one in the NFL can tackle.
11 people.
Why can't it be like a... did you ever see the Simpsons episode where they play football and Nelson's the running back? Yes, and running into contact.
Yeah,
I think it'd be like that. But I like Bakhtiari. Being the Saints homer, I was thinking Ramchek was the first guy that popped in my head as far as old lineman. But I definitely an offensive lineman. I think Bakhtiari's a fair call. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and I think,
on defense.
Yeah, okay, you can take defense first.
Ooh, someone who can get a sack, please.
Yes.
TJ Watt, I think he's leading in sacks. I think it's a fair
very strong guess. Choice.
Who's leading in the NFL in sacks right now?
While you look that up, I mean, my heart was telling me, ooh, it'd be fun to see Jerry Hughes in a TCU uniform again.
That'd be
very fun.
Finish your thought.
Well, you know, best defensive lineman since Bob Lilly. Certainly the best defensive lineman in, certainly the best defensive end in TCU history. But I was like, oh yeah, Aaron Donald exists. And you talk about kind of that Derrick Henry thing of just like throwing people to the wayside. I think it'd be very nice to have Aaron Donald on the Stevenson.
Donald leads the NFL in 7.5 sacks. Second on the list is a guy who was very close to being a Horned Frog, Myles Garrett, with 7 sacks.
Yep, wouldn't be mad about him either.
Yeah, wouldn't be mad about him either, but yes. Sure, either one of those is fine by me. But yeah, give me Myles Garrett, Aaron Donald.
Yeah, so but lineman that, is your
that
answer.
That led to the yes for real. That led to the debate on Twitter, or you said Bob Lilly is the best TCU defensive player of all time. I still think it's Jerry Hughes, but I think, and then because Jason Verrett had a pick the other night, by the way, great to see him back.
Oh, yes, so great to see him back.
So I think Matt Jennings' old pal put out that Verrett is the best defender in TCU history. He asked the question, and I replied, I think it's Hughes.
Yeah.
But I think it's those three are probably in your discussion.
Yeah, oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, there's some linebackers that you could throw in. I mean, golly, Darryl Washington, especially that senior season, that dude was something else. But yeah, I think you've got to give it to Bob Lilly just because you just look at the sheer longevity of his career in the NFL and the quality of his career in the NFL. I mean, he was a force of nature for the Cowboys for, you know, what was it, like a decade and a half almost. And he was just every bit as good next to Dom Floyd at TCU. So yeah, I mean, I think it's Mr. Cowboy. Come on. You got to give Bob Lilly the nod as best defender of all
time. No, you do. I'm trying to see. I can't find necessarily any stats. There's no, he was an All-American, obviously.
It's also, I mean, you're talking about a different era, sure. Yes. And for his time, Bob Lilly was just so much bigger, so much stronger than everyone else. You know, it's just the mismatches were just plain to see. Whereas, you know, obviously now there's an increase in talent.
Yeah, what if you put Jerry Hughes, if you dropped him on those teams from the 50s? And
60s? Like, drop Jerry Hughes on that Cowboys offensive line from the Ice Bowl?
Yes.
Suddenly, it's the Tom Landry Trophy and not the Vince Lombardi Trophy.
Oh, I didn't realize Bob Lilly almost has my birthday. Or I almost have Bob Lilly's birthday, rather.
you can interpret that anyway.
Right? His birthday is a day before mine. but yeah, I mean, I'd go Jerry Hughes because what he did was just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Also, being at school at the same time, all that stuff.
Yeah.
A little bit of a heartstring there. Mm-hmm. Look at the Wikipedia page for the 2016 TCU team and tell me what you see under schedule that catches your eye.
All right, you've got the laptop open.
So the 2016 schedule, I pulled it up on GoFrogs. I didn't pull it up on Wikipedia. I wonder if you think it's different?
Well, judging by his tweet, I'd assume there's something awry about it. I didn't take the time. I did read his questions ahead of time because a lot of times B Banks's questions require some forethought.
A little bit of thought.
Yeah, but I did not go ahead and look at the Wikipedia page yet, so I don't know what to expect.
I wonder if he did that because they are all wins except for the Oklahoma game. That's not right.
I remember. I don't know what you're
talking about. In 2016, that's not what happened, right? 2016, TCU went 6-7, and under Wikipedia, they have them going 13-1 and ranked number 5 in the country.
I choose to accept that history.
Who did this? Is this you, B Banks?
Answer for yourself.
Et tu, B Banks? And under every game by game, the scores are right on the game by game breakdown.
Just mixed backwards.
I don't think so. I don't think they're. No, they're totally off. It has the Liberty Bowl TCU winning 49-24.
That would have been much better.
That would have been much better than to beat Georgia.
What happened?
Beat SMU 34-3. Wow, that was interesting. Okay, I don't know who did that, but how did you had to know this was there to ask for it?
Sowing disinformation.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, fake news. I'm pretty sure you did. I'm pretty sure you did this.
Probably was Iran. Honestly,
I don't. I'm confused by this. But yeah, in real life, the schedule that stands out the most is obviously the 62-22 win at Baylor.
Yeah, that did happen.
That did actually happen.
That was
Kyle Hicks
scored
5 touchdowns, I think.
Yes.
And that was like the week after they got rid of the Art Briles stuff kind of came out and they were all wearing the black in support
of
him.
Yes, CAB. God, you shame on you always, Baylor. Shame on you.
Shame on you. Man, the loss to Arkansas was really heartbreaking. Double overtime. Loss to Texas Tech in double overtime.
That one made me so irritated. Well,
both those were depressing. 31-6 loss to Oklahoma State. But yeah, that is weird, B Banks. I'm believing you did this. what's your ideal outcome of the BUUT game, the Butt Bowl? Is that actually happening?
Butt Bowl?
The Butt Bowl?
The actual Butt Bowl is BU Texas Tech.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
So that's the butt bowl.
Well, I would.
The butters over here.
I would like to reference scripture for what I would like to see happen in the BUUT game. This comes to us from Numbers chapter 16, and this is where a particular sect of the Israelites was rebelling against God, to simplify things significantly. As Moses finished speaking all these words, the ground that was under them split open, and the earth opened up its mouth and swallowed them up, and their households and all the men who belonged to Korah with their possessions. So they and all that belonged to them went down alive into Sheol, which is like hell, to really super simplify things again. And the earth closed over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. That's what I would like to see happen.
You just want Darryl K. Royal Stadium to collapse. Or just, basically have an earthquake in the middle of it and both teams.
I want the maw of the earth to open and swallow them both and them to perish from the assembly. Well, but if that won't happen, I'd rather see Texas win. Because then you keep Tom Herman around another year and it's very fun to beat him by doing nothing.
Fair enough. I'll never root for Baylor to win a game.
Yes, so, exactly.
That makes a lot of sense. Would you give up eating meat for 6 years for a 31-game winning streak?
Oh, gosh. I don't think I could do that.
I don't think I could either. I definitely really can't.
I was thinking about it because, again, I read his questions ahead of time, and I had just eaten like a vegetarian TV dinner, which was, you know, fine for lunch, but I was like, I would not do this every day for every meal. No, I need meat. I need meat. I'll lose 31 games if it means I get to eat meat.
Yeah, I agree. I like steak and chicken and
drown my sorrows in some bacon fat.
Yes, please. Bacon burn ends.
Yeah.
What was your favorite song when you were 15?
Okay, this was difficult.
That's 2001, right? For
you.
Me.
2005 for me. 2001 for you. So I was thinking about, I mean, I like a lot of the same music that I did like that. I've always liked older music, so I was into, you know, your Led Zeppelins, your Beatles, your Sublime, your Bob Marley's, a lot of the same things. But I feel like, because I started thinking about it and I started looking at release dates, my favorite song when I was 15 might have been Turn It Up by Chamillionaire. Might have been. So I'm going to go with that because that's a fun answer.
Fair enough. I'm looking at the top songs from the Billboard year-end Hot 100 singles of 2001. So I was 15. Man, I was very boring and dull.
I feel like my favorite song in 2001 was probably Fat Lip by Sum 41. Probably.
Probably.
When did All Star come out by Smash Mouth? Because I was really into that song when it came out.
I don't know if that was when. They're not on this list, so I'm guessing it wasn't that. Kryptonite by all these good songs. Ooh, I'm probably Miss Jackson by Outkast.
Oh,
probably.
Yeah.
That era.
Oh, when did Hey Ya come out?
That might have been the year after, because I think that was a better song, obviously.
Because that song still slaps.
I think that was the song of the aughts.
Yeah.
Because I heard that on multiple, like I heard that on rap, heard on pop, had heard on rock stations,
uh-huh.
And that's the staple, in my opinion, like my staple, like a piano bar song.
Yeah.
Is Hey Ya, because I think everyone likes that song.
Hey Ya came out in 2003.
So that's a couple years later.
Yeah.
Drive by Incubus. I think I went and bought Incubus' CDs back then. So yes, I will say, I remember it was either Incubus or Red Hot Chili Peppers. I left their CD at high school and I was crushed.
Oh no.
Yes. I went to a Hastings, bought the CD, and was very disappointed that I forgot the CD at school and couldn't find it ever again.
I know what to get you for Christmas now.
Oh yes. Give me that for sure.
An Incubus CD.
That's what every boy wants. All right, last question from B-Banks. In honor of Netflix's Rebecca remake, how many Hitchcock films can Billy name? Over under is 3.5.
So this is all you, Billiam.
It is on me, and I had three. Mm-hmm. I had Rear Window, because I love that movie.
Yeah.
I think that one's a great one, Psycho and Birds. Mm-hmm. I had those three. I couldn't got you a fourth one. I couldn't. And then I looked it up, and I was like,
Northwest, yeah. Vertigo. I still need to see Vertigo, by the way.
I had three, and I had never heard of what Rebecca. I didn't know what Rebecca is.
I think isn't it about a doll?
I assume it's
like a haunted doll.
About a girl. I have no idea.
Or maybe I'm thinking of Annabelle.
That isn't Annabelle. Rebecca, yeah. The Alfred Hitchcock version. A self-conscious woman juggles adjusting to her new role as an aristocrat's wife and avoiding being intimidated by his first wife's spectral presence.
Ah, yeah, ooh. That sounds much more Hitchcock than a doll.
Well, yes.
But yeah, Psycho is still a masterwork. I like watching Psycho every October because that's just such a masterwork of suspense and really, really great acting, too, by everyone involved. And fantastic cinematography, as all Hitchcock movies are.
So this is the movie with Armie Hammer I saw was coming out. Okay. Because I don't, like, I had never heard of or from, it's PG-13, it's on Netflix, I guess now. A 5.9 rating on Netflix or on IMDb, anyways. Lily James is in it. I don't know much about it, but I guess I'll watch it this weekend. I got nothing else to do.
Have you ever watched Alfred Hitchcock Presents where he like
walks out onto the screen.
Talks about what's going to happen. Yes. And this is what you will see.
I remember watching it as a kid. Oh, Rebecca won 2 Oscars.
Oh, speaking of Halloween media and watching things as a kid, I found out that the original Goosebumps show is on Netflix right now.
Oh, interesting.
So you can go back and watch all of those. I watched the first 2 episodes recently about this girl who, with a haunted mask.
Oh.
Right? Begins to take her over.
I might have to watch it this weekend. Yes, Rebecca won Best Picture in 1941. I did not know that.
Oh, wow.
Might have to check that out, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
Anything else you want to talk about this week? Anything else you want to branch in? We kind of steamrolled through this one.
Yeah.
A lot of Twitter questions and a lot of just kind of meh feelings.
Yeah, and no interviews this week. But I felt like it was a good show.
Thanks,
if I do say so myself.
40 solid minutes.
Yeah, you know, it's nice to have something a little easier to digest every now and then.
It's one drive palatable. You don't have to spend all day listening to us rant and ramble and stuff like that.
But of course, why wouldn't you want to?
Clint, promote something.
Follow me on Twitter at Clint_Foster55. You can follow me on Instagram at TheClintFoster. I did intend to put out a bi-week video, but I got tied up with... What actually screwed me up is the time that I was going to devote to a video and writing a script, because I had a whole idea, but I got an audition that I had to do a tape for,
so that
completely threw everything else out of whack. Yeah, but so anyway, expect a TCU fans during the OU game video, if nothing else, that will happen. Yes.
Add Billy Wessels, and I guess hire me if you're interested in hiring somebody who's kind of funny. And
you're hired.
Yeah. Well, no. I hope so.
Do you ever watch Mystery Science Theater 3000? Because you should if you haven't. Oh my God, you should. There's one where they watch this short called "You're Hired," and it's pretty funny. Anyway,
I have plenty of free time. I'll check it out.
Okay.
Talk to you guys next week.
Go Frogs!